Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio to open God's eternal word and to study the word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the word of God today. We're turning again in our Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 14, and we're continuing our study on the consequence of being filled with the Spirit of God. We looked at the command to be filled. Then we looked at the contrast of being filled and being baptized. And then we started looking at the consequence of being filled with the Spirit of God. And I said to you, sometimes in order to establish truth, we must expose error. And so we started looking, first of all, on the negative aspect of the consequence of being filled, what it is not. There is much in the circle of religion today that is proclaimed to be the evidence of a person being filled with the Spirit of God. But again, I submit to you, we must come to the Word of God and let the Word of God be true and everything else be wrong. And so we started looking in the Bible, and we looked at three occasions in the book of Acts where scriptural tongues were in operation. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 10, and Acts chapter number 19. And in all three of these occasions, we saw that there was an apostle present, and there were unbelieving Jews present. You can find both of those in all three of those instances. And then I started dealing with the fact there is nowhere in the Bible that teaches that performing of miracles is evidence of a person being filled with the Spirit of God. And I gave you John the Baptist as an example. The Bible said that John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And yet at the closing of his life, in John 10:41, the Bible said John did no miracle. And then I said to you, there's nowhere in the Bible where it teaches that speaking in tongues is the evidence of a person being filled with the Spirit of God. And we started studying the Word of God and letting God say to us what He says in the Word of God. We looked in the book of Acts chapter number 2. Then we looked at Acts chapter number 10. And then Acts chapter number 19. And then we started looking here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. And this is a portion of Scripture that is used by the tongues people of our day. But when you take the Word of God and let God's Word speak as it is written down, then it's easy to understand that the apostle is not commending them for their tongues movement. He is condemning them. He comes to them with a message of something better than speaking in tongues. As a matter of fact, in the first half of chapter number 14, he talks about how that prophesying, proclaiming, is better than speaking in tongues. And then when you come to verse number 18, Paul said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. But now listen to verse number 19. He said, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So Paul does not place emphasis on speaking in tongues. He said, I'd rather say five words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I pointed out to you in verse 21 and 22, where the Bible plainly teaches that tongues were given for a sign to the unbeliever, not a sign to the believer. And of course, the unbeliever here When you go back in the Word of God and read what the Bible says, God said it to Israel, to this people. So the tongues were given as a sign to the nation Israel. But then we read in verse number 23, where the Bible said, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in one that is unlearned, or an unbeliever, will they not say that they are mad? And I pointed out that word mad is not angry, it's insane. He said, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Now, notice a comparison he makes. Verse 23, if people in the church are speaking in tongues and the unlearned or the unbeliever comes in, they will think they are mad. They are out of their mind. And then in verse number 24 and verse number 25, he said if an unbeliever or an unlearned one comes into a church that is speaking in clear language, he said five things can happen to them as they hear the preaching of the Word of God. Number one, he is convinced of all. And the text indicates that's all of his sin. Number two, he is judged of all of his sins. Number three, the secrets of his heart are made manifest. Number four, falling down on his face, he will worship God. And number five, and will report that God is in you of a truth. Again, you see, Paul is not magnifying the importance of tongues, but rather he is magnifying the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. Then when you come down to verse number 27, the Bible goes on to talk about the tongues movement there at Corinth. He said, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But in verse number 28, he said, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. In these two verses, verse 27 and 28, we learn four things. Number one, no more than two or three people can speak in tongues in any service. Number two, they were to speak by course. That's only one at a time, and then the other follow. Number three, there must be an interpreter present. And number four, if there is no interpreter present, then they were to keep silence in the church as far as the tongue speaking was concerned. So he gives those four things in verse number 27 and 28. Number one, no more than two or three to speak in one service. Number two, they're to speak by course. Number three, there must be an interpreter present. Number four, if there's no interpreter present, then they are to keep silence. In verse number 34, we learn that the women were not permitted to speak in the tongue service. The Bible said in verse 34, still talking about the tongue service in the church, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. God is not saying here that it's wrong for a woman to testify. For a woman to be a part in a service, she is forbidden in the Word of God to take the place of leadership and usher authority over a man. But she is also forbidden to speak in the tongue service here that was going on in the church at Corinth. And again, that was a problem back then, and it's still a problem now. And then in verse number 35, the Bible said, if the woman will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And again, he's speaking about speaking in tongues here in the context. So as you come down through these verses of Scripture, we learn that the tongues were given for a sign to the nation of Israel. We learned they were never intended for the church service, though God used them in that early church. But God lays down specific rules and usage of them. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words from my understanding than 10,000 words in the unknown tongue. And he talked about how that it would affect an unbeliever, an unlearned one, if they came in and saw people speaking in tongues. They would think they're mad, they're insane. But if they come into a service where the word of God is preached with understanding, then they'll be convicted of their sin. They'll bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved by the grace of God. And then they'll say of a truth that Christ is in you. And then in verse number 26 and 27, we learn when the tongues was in order, the order was to be, if any man speak in an unknown tongue. And I did not point this out as I went through this a little earlier, but it is limited to the men. If a man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And verse 34 said, let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, let me repeat and close this up. I mentioned to you earlier, in the three instances, and there are only three instances in the Bible where tongues were in operation scripturally. The book of Acts chapter number 2, the book of Acts chapter number 10, and the book of Acts chapter number 19. In that time of the transition, these signs were given to the Jews because they would not believe what they heard. And they seek after a sign. And God gave the Jews the signs in order to get their attention where it could speak to them. But we see now in the church at Corinth, as well as in many churches today, tongues become an idol. They become a god. They become something that the people worship. But in those operations, there was always an apostle present. There was always an unbelieving Jew present. And now we just learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that the women were not permitted to speak in the tongue service. And I say to you today, there are no apostles living today. And the Jew in this dispensation must be saved not by seeing a sight, but by hearing the word of God, just as the Gentiles do. And my friend, when you come to this conclusion, there are no apostles, the unbelieving Jews had to be there, then you realize that this is not something for this day in the church. But people have made it a part of their service. Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 1 and 2. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Paul said to those Corinthians that you worship gifts as an idol, even before you were saved. And may I say to you that many today have made an idol out of the gifts. They do not worship the giver, but they worship the gift. Well, we'll continue, the Lord willing, on tomorrow. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you're enjoying this study on the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you that I do have a book that I wrote a few years ago on the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if you'd like to have the book to study further, I'd be glad to send it to you. Just simply write to us and include a love offering for the radio ministry. You'll have the book there where you can study it in your home. Address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.